gentleman from our midst that's going to be teaching, Mr. Ed Woodall. So open your Bibles and follow along and check him to make sure he's accurate. Let's put our hands together. Come on, welcome him. Yeah.
Well, good morning, everyone. Is this thing on? I'm on? Good deal. Great. Mark and Andy asked me if I would share some thoughts on giving. So I'm gonna pass on some information to you all that I was taught when I first came to this place 40 years ago. And before I got to this place, though, you know what? Let's just take a minute and pray here. Lord, this is a real important discussion here this morning. This is near and dear to your heart. Giving is part of who we are as your followers. You've called us to this. You've demonstrated what it is to give, and now you call us to give. So, Lord, I pray that I'm going to provide the body here this morning, Lord, but you provide the wisdom from your scriptures to instruct us all on some good guidelines for giving. It gets kind of confusing out there. Everybody wants kind of a piece of something, and Lord, we need wisdom about how to spend our money and we just need some wisdom, Lord. We come to you this morning to ask for that. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, as a young guy, and not here, but in a church, I was taught that you can't sort of outgive God. That and my thinking by that was that, well, if you can't outgive God, the idea was that the more I gave God, the more I was going to get back, and that's kind of how I functioned. So my basic motivation was wrong. And because I really wanted, you know, what I was trying to do was kind of manipulate God to get an outcome that I wanted. If I gave a lot, I'd get more back. That's what I thought, okay? And, of course, wrong motive. It was greed, manipulation, wrong. This morning, we want to look at the right motives for giving. Of course, the right motives are thankfulness, love and grace. That's the motive. That's why we give. Okay, we've had a great giver demonstrate to us what it is to give through God, through His Son Jesus, and in return, because of His indwelling life and our life, we can't help ourselves. That's just something that naturally should occur in our lives. A young friend of mine who's had a really difficult time recently and has been struggling, been out of work for a long time, got work, and he got a good job, by the way, and he started to make some pretty good money. And the first thing he came to me this last week and said, you know, I realized I'm making pretty good money now, but I feel like I need to start giving something to God. And I thought, wow, that's a good response, isn't it? Now, no one told him to do that. The Spirit of God, okay, spoke to him, and he decided that was something that he ought to be doing. That's a good response. That's the Apostle Paul is trying to teach this young church in Corinth. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4, and we're going to look at right motives, okay? In Matthew, we're reminded that Matthew 10, that freely we have been given, so we should freely give. All right? Again, this is not probably the best climate to be talking about giving because we're in the middle of a tough economy. You know, I mean, people are just barely getting by, you know, and so you sort of wonder, couldn't you have picked a better time to talk about giving? But no, I think this is a great time to talk about giving. Yes, sir? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. We're going to look at, one, why we give, what are the proper motives for giving, and two, we're going to look at, the Apostle Paul lays out 7 points, sort of 7 guidelines, 7 spiritual realities for giving. Now, remember, Paul's talking to a young church in Corinth. a church that he had planted that he loved. And he's talking to them about giving because the mother church, the church in Jerusalem, has come under really difficult times. You remember the church in Jerusalem, the church out of Acts, the first church? Well, they had something they could control, and that was their possessions. All of their possessions had been attacked. The Romans had come in and attacked the church. And these sort of more wealthy sort of Christians that were there really came under attack. They got pointed. They went right at these folks. And one of the reasons that this persecution comes is because God originally wanted that church to go out into the world and to spread the gospel, right? And they didn't want to do that. They were having a great time in their community, and they didn't want to leave. So God intentionally allows some persecution to come in to spread the church throughout all the world. We're the recipients of that, okay? They also had a famine in the land. That was something they couldn't control. So they're in really dire straits. So Paul's instructing this church in Corinth to give to and help to preserve this church in Jerusalem. He basically said, the church in Jerusalem has given to you. Now it's your turn to give back. Okay? You're members of the same family, members of the body of Christ. You have a responsibility here. Okay? And he also was reminding them that this is what we do. We're Christians. We demonstrate God's love through our lives. And part of that demonstration is through our giving. And it causes a lost world around us to wonder what makes us tick. Let's face it, I think the God of this world is money. And so when you've got people that give freely of their resources, it really causes the world, the people that don't know the Lord, to wonder what makes these people tick. Okay? And that's one of the responses God wants. That's one of the reasons we give. So this is some practical instructions to a young church in a difficult situation. It'd be like living here in the Bay Area right now, okay? And this young church was very similar to this Step Closer family here. New Christians trying to sort of, they're hungry for the truth, how to live life. There's a lot of pressure on them from the outside world to compromise their values, to compromise their lives. And so Paul writes four letters to this church. Some of them are lost, but he loved this church and he loved who they were. They were once lost and now they were found, and they were affecting the world. All the Corinthian world was being affected by this young group of Christians. So Paul wants to give them, as I said, some practical guidelines for giving, for godly giving, by the way. So let's take a look at this text, 1 Corinthians
16:1-4.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, let each one of you put aside and save as he may prosper, that no collection may be made when I come. And when I arrive, whomever you may approve, I shall send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it's fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. So the first point we see here, he says, so you also. He's talking to this church. He said, just like the church in Galatia, just like all of the church, that giving is a universal principle for Christians. That's what we do, okay? That all should give, every man, every woman, every child. Okay? And again, why should they give? Freely you have been given, so you should freely give. God gave us everything, didn't he? And he wants us to demonstrate that kind of a giving spirit. He doesn't want it to be begrudgingly. He doesn't want it to be mechanical or legalistic. It's a result of a changed heart. That's why he wants us to give, not because of duty. Yes, Marcus?
Yeah. The fact is, I'm thinking God owns it all. We don't own nothing here. But we're called to be stewards, not just stewards of our money, but our time, mm-hmm. the mysteries of God. Mm-hmm.
But I think for a lot of us as new Christians, we don't understand that reality, right? And so we just go on living our life just like we always did, and not realizing that it's by God's grace that we have our next breath, our next meal, or the roof over our head is all part of God's great grace in our life. His giving demonstrated to us. Thanks, Marcus. So it's a universal desire on God's part that we would all give. Because if Christ is in us, giving is in this. You know, you hear that word DNA all the time. But if Jesus is Lord of our lives, if he indwells us, it's kind of in our DNA. We can't help ourselves. Just like this young guy I was telling you about, the automatic response to this kind of a changed life is that I want to give back. That's a normal thing to do, okay? Now, of course, we have all seen a lot of the, you know, the travesties are in our world where the church has undermined a lot of people's, they've tried to get money unscrupulously. They've tried to work people to get money. You'll discover as we finish here that that's the furthest thing from God's heart. He's frankly, in terms of giving, in my opinion, he doesn't need my money. Okay, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Okay, but he gives me the privilege to participate in what he's doing. It should be a great thing. It should be joyful. Our old pastor Ray would say we should be hilarious givers. You know, okay, that's the kind of attitude that God wants here. So the amount that we give, it's not important. Now this is important. The amount is not important. It's why we give. That's what's really important. Okay. Again, our giving causes a lost world to wonder. The second point. So one, we see it's a universal call to everyone that's a follower of Jesus. We're called to give. The second thing we see here is that he says that we're to give on the first day of every week. Okay? So what's the first day of the week?
Sunday.
Sunday. Why do you think Sunday's the first day of the week?
Resurrection.
Resurrection, that's right. It's the day of new beginnings, right? It's a day of sort of new motivation for our lives, right? And so the we give on he's suggesting that we should give on Sunday when we come to the to church, to our place of worship, that we should participate in financially in the preservation of that church and other things, right? He's making a case that giving should be regular. It should be planned. You should be praying about your giving, okay? It shouldn't be piecemeal. Well, when I've got a little, I'll give a little, right? That's not what really speaks to God's heart. Giving should be out of the wonder of resurrection, out of the wonder of our new life. That's why we give. And so the idea here is whenever we come together, and we don't do that here, and I would suggest that maybe we ought to start doing that because we're a community here, right? That when we come together, that there ought to be an opportunity for us to be able to give financially. Now, Paul's talking specifically about financial giving here. There are other ways to give. Service is a huge, I mean, that's giving, and it's very important. The church needs both. Paul's addressing the financial side here this morning. So we're to give when the body comes together, first day of the week, we should come prepared. We've prayed about it, we've thought about it, and we're ready to give something back to God. Now, he goes on to say, on the first day of every week, let each one of you, okay? And so the idea here, each one, is giving is personal. It's an act of worship, okay? It's very similar to baptism or communion. It's a physical act, right? It's an outward expression of an inward reality. Folks will get baptized here this morning to express something that's occurred in their life now, and they want to go public about it, and they want to demonstrate it by physically being immersed in water. Well, giving's a lot like that, okay? It's again. It's a personal, physical act that communicates our love of God. Every once in a while, Yes.
I got a question.
Yes.
When you give or don't give because you think that person is going to go do wrong with the money, for instance, you see a person out there and you know he drinks or drugs and he asks you for money and you say no, or should you just give it to him knowing that's what they're going to do?
Well, one of the things we're talking about here is sort of giving in the context of the church. When you're on the street, I would say that as a responsible follower of Jesus, I should have money in my pocket all the time for a hurting community. And if I see someone in need and God speaks to me, I should be willing, I should keep 10, 15, 20 bucks so I can help them. That's just who we are. That's normal living, okay? Now, what he's talking about here is sort of routine, regular giving in the body of Christ, okay?
He's saying you shouldn't give it to people if you don't think they're going to use it right.
Yeah, if you think they're going to go and do something goofy with it, you don't give it to them,
right.
Okay? You're not helping them. Okay, you gotta, you know, when you approach that person, you're saying, Lord, I'm not sure where this is going, this encounter, but if this guy looks like he's in need, give me wisdom at this moment to discern, is this a real need or is this guy scamming me? Okay, and then you make the call. So one of the things, that my wife knows that I love her. But every once in a while, and I tell her I love her, right? But every once in a while, it helps to give her some roses, right?
What?
It's sort of a physical demonstration.
Some roses.
Oh,
roses.
Roses.
What?
Roses. But it. So it's a little bit. It's a little like that. I love God, but once in a while, there are physical ways I can demonstrate. Communion is a great way to demonstrate physically our love for God, right? Giving is the same thing. I think this group over here needs to pay attention.
Yes. Tithing and giving is two different things?
I'm getting there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm getting there. I knew you were going to do this to me, friend. Okay. He goes on in verse 2 to say, put some aside and save, okay? He's talking, again, in this context, Paul's talking to day laborers. These people worked every day and they got paid every day for what they did. Okay, so they didn't get paid once a week like maybe we would. They got their income every day. So and understanding how that works, if you're living right at subsistence level, you're barely getting by. Okay, if you aren't real intentional, you know, Lord, I've had a good day today, and I'm going to take a little bit of this money and I'm going to set it aside for you. It's your money. Thank you, you're leaving me some to live on, but I'm going to take a little bit of it and set it aside for you. Because if we wait till the end of the week, at least in the context of this teaching, all kinds of emergencies are coming up, and we have all kinds of things that we can find a good reason to spend the money. But the idea is to set God's money aside, okay? Take it, set it aside, be prepared to give, okay? And plan ahead, be thoughtful about it. Be intentional about your giving. Giving should not be an afterthought or what's left over, okay? It's something we ought to be thinking about all the time. The other thing he says, know who you're giving to, that this giving thing is sort of a sacred trust, okay? When I give my money maybe to this church, I want to know that they're going to spend it properly. I want to know it's not going someplace it shouldn't be going. Okay, so I want to be very thoughtful about where I give my money. Now, one of the questions is, how do you know if we're to give, even if we're not making enough, you know, if we don't have a lot of money, right? And yet, he's instructing us to set something aside. Obviously, he doesn't care about the amount. God doesn't care about the amount, right? So he just cares about the intentions of our heart, right? So, how do you regulate when you're given enough? Because that should be our motive. Our motive should be hilarious givers. We want to give God as much as we can because of what he's done for us, right? So how do you know when enough is enough, Kevin?
So the old saying used to be, give till it hurts. And I think what Ray Stedman was going off on was, give till it feels good.
What's that?
Give it till it feels good.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's probably some practical way. Okay. Aaron?
Morning, Ed. I don't know about everybody else, but I know when I was at my lowest and living out of my car, and I bumped into other people that were in my same circumstances, it might be raining out or it might be snowing out, and I got an extra coat in the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not judged. For me, it was never judged on how much I gave or there's no limit to it. It's, I have it, you need it, take it.
Mm-hmm. And you give out of your heart, right?
Jesus said, give away your excess.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, Marta?
Well, excuse me. For me, what I have learned in being a good steward of God's gifts, he's given me a lot. He's given me a life again. And I feel like, everything I have and everything I do, however, just like I'm doing now, I'm stepping down from this commitment that I have. For me, giving enough is when I start feeling drained and feeling like I'm not serving God or I feel like I'm missing something. It's because I'm not giving enough time to God.
Mm-hmm.
Me and God time. And I'm doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to serve so much that I get overwhelmed and I do too much. And then I get exhausted and too tired to serve, to spend time with God.
Sure.
So to me, that's what giving too much is.
Mm-hmm.
When I start seeing that I'm failing, or not failing, but lacking in God's Spirit.
Again, if we're thinking and praying and going to God constantly about our giving, both just our physical giving and our financial giving, he says he'll give us wisdom about that, okay? And one of the ways, you start feeling the sense of pressure, disconnect from God in what we're doing. We're real busy, but we don't. Our intimacy with God is really bad. Marcus?
I just want to point out the story of Jesus and Martha. Mm-hmm. Martha was the one to serve the Lord. But,
yeah.
In real time, it's the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. She saw the most valuable thing. Yes, ma'am.
I know I don't have that much money, and I know sometimes when I tie and I sort of think, oh, it's just going to make any difference, financially.
But
the thing is that what a house is, it only goes to the Lord first.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is what I learned from it is a perspective of my attitude. I find that
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 10%, but how most churches come up with that number?
Who told you 10%? Where'd you get that?
I don't know. Not in the Bible, that's for sure. That's people.
No, that's not in the New Testament.
No.
No, we don't do that anymore. Let me say this just as quickly. The thing that we should recognize that I don't care, where you're living, that we all have a few little luxuries, right? It could be a pack of gum, right? And we make the decision, Lord, I don't have anything. I've got a little bit of money, I could buy a pack of gum. But you know what? It's all I've got. I want to give it to you. And that's, remember the story of the widow that gives the two little brass coins? And how that, God loves that. He just responds to that. That's the right motivation. She gave it all. She gave out of her heart, okay? God says that kind of giving, he blesses that. He loves that, okay? We're running out of time, so I need to pick it up here a little bit. So it's a very personal act of worship, okay? that it, to all of us. Then he says that we're to put some aside, that we ought to be thoughtfully every day thinking about, okay, you know, I want to set something aside from God. He's been so good to me. I want to make sure that I'm responsible with what he's given me, okay? So we give to the point that it affects our luxuries, okay? That we have necessities, I know that. But in terms of luxuries, that it should affect our luxuries. Things that little niceties that we want to give ourselves, there are times when we need to give those up so that we can give back to God, okay? Again, you know, just in Mark 12, let me just read this real quickly for you so you get the spirit of the thing. 43. And a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amounted to 1 cent. And calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all that she owned, all she had to live on." Okay, that's a great story. Okay, I don't know that I put in all that it, would I do that? I don't know. God so far hasn't asked me to do that, but he has asked me to give out of my luxuries. He's asked me to give an amount that is suitable for me. I know lots of folks that the idea of 10%, nah. I know folks that give lots of money, okay? And if you got a lot of money, you ought to give a lot of money, okay? And if you don't have a lot of money, you don't need to give a lot of money. That's kind of how it works. Okay, point number 5 here. It says, as he may prosper. Again, we give in response to God's giving to us. We give according to how God has given to us. If he's given a little, we give a little. If he's given us a lot, we ought to give a lot. But we must give according to the love and the grace that we've received. Okay? The big giver is the fact that we're redeemed, okay? And our life is completely different now. And we have meaning to our life. Our life has purpose. Well, based on that, we should give out of that sort of a heart. Now, in terms of tithing, okay, let's talk about that. That's not a New Testament regulation. That's an Old Testament regulation. Again, 10%. Probably a lot to a poor person, 10% to probably not much to a wealthy person. So that's abolished. We're to give in response to what we've received. That's the guideline, okay? And that can be any number. And it's only between you and God, okay? No church, no organization can dictate how much money you ought to give. In fact, if they did, I'd leave. I wouldn't have anything to do with those folks, by the way. I came here out of a church that had all kinds of gimmicks for getting money out of people, okay? And I came here and it was like, these people didn't seem to be real concerned about money at all. In fact, they wanted to help me and they really weren't asking much from me. It was real different, okay? To begin to live life in a genuine response to what God's done in my life. To give out of the grace and mercy I had received, the love I'd received. So tithing is not something we do anymore, okay? I think the church has really kind of succumbed to self-indulgence over the last 50, 60 years, maybe more so than ever. That's not the call for the church. The church is to be an instrument of God's grace and mercy. The church is here to give. Okay, to care for the brokenhearted and the poor. That's who we're to be. But I think a lot of us, and I include myself in that, have allowed the culture that we live in to affect my view of giving and how I live. And I think, frankly, I think how I've lived, I don't know, I'm just questioning it all right now. My wife and I are selling our home. We don't want a big house anymore. We just feel uncomfortable with it, okay? We want to have a small little house, and we want to live a lot more, I guess, frugally. sober-mindedly, okay? But I think that what's happened to me over the last 20 or 30 years is I've sold out a lot to the culture. And right now, I'm seeing it way differently, okay? And texts like this help me a lot understand my responsibility as a follower of Jesus, okay? One with it, by the way, we're supposed to hold things loosely, okay? 2 Corinthians says we own everything but possess nothing. We're to hold things loosely. Don't hold on, okay? We can be givers. We can trust God. He'll provide for us, okay? Point number six, it says that no collection be made when I come. Now, why would Paul say that? Why would he say, I don't want any offering to take place when I'm in your midst? Why would he say that?
People show off when they give like that?
Yeah. Not show off, but they feel some sense of compulsion or guilt. The great Apostle Paul's here, and you know what? I want to make a good showing, right? I want to, that sort of a thing. And Paul says, I don't want any offering taken when I come because I don't want you giving out of compulsion because I'm there, okay? Don't give under compulsion or guilt, okay? We live our lives for an audience of one. How we give, we only account to God and God alone, okay? No one can tell us how much we should give or shouldn't give. Okay, that's between God and I, but it is between God and I. He knows if I'm shortchanging him. Okay, he says in Matthew 6 that our giving should be very private. Okay, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Okay, but we don't give open. You know, we don't give to be noticed. Okay. Pardon me?
Is that saying in the Bible, don't let your left hand?
Yeah, that's in Matthew 6, verses 3 and 4. Thanks, Frank. Okay, lastly, he says, when I arrive, whomever you may appoint, I shall send them with a letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it's fitting for me to go, I'll go with them. I think really what Paul's saying here is that our giving be carried out responsibly. Again, know who you're giving to, know where the money's going, okay? Give to ministries that are accountable, ministries that will show you what they give and how they give. In Asia, you know, there's a lot of these faith healers on TV, and I don't know if you noticed, but they've all disappeared. They're not around much anymore. And they're all in Asia right now because they've been exposed here, and they've been there a lot of frauds. Now, I wouldn't say everyone's a fraud, but I'd say there's a lot of frauds. And so when I'm in Pakistan, you know, here's a guy. Hey, wait a minute, that guy's from California. What's he doing over here? Well, you know what? He punched all his tickets here. No one would give him anything anymore, and he's in Pakistan now trying to get money from very poor people. Okay, that, you know what? I wouldn't give to a guy like that. I'm sorry. That's not what I would do. Okay. The other thing is, you know, every and it's a minor thing, but every year you see pictures of really hurting kind of homeless men and women in the newspaper, and then there's an ad that says, if you give $20, we'll buy them a turkey dinner for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, right? Well, you know that tons of money come in. And I'm not judging. Yeah, I am judging. I think they're fine organizations. I think they're fine organizations. But I think that method is deceitful because so much money comes in. It doesn't go to buy dinners for homeless men and women. It goes in their general fund, right? Then they may serve 500 dinners, but they got enough money for 10,000. Where's that money? Well, it's doing other stuff. Well, that's fine, but that's not what I gave my money for. So you want to know that your money's going where it's supposed to go. Okay, in review, real quickly. One, giving is for everyone in the family. Okay, it's in our DNA, it's who we are. Two, it should be routine and regular. Three, it's a personal act, it's a private act. No one should know what you're doing. Four, you should give thoughtfully and prayerfully. It's an act of worship. Five, it should be guided by grace and the mercy you have received. Okay? Freely you have been given, so freely give. Okay? Number six, giving should not be based on guilt or pressure. If you're feeling guilt or pressure, do not give. If you give under guilt, that's sinful. I want you to know that. If someone's pressured you into giving, that's wrong. It's wrong on their part, and it's wrong for you to respond to them. Lastly, make sure you know who you're giving to. Do your homework. So giving, our giving is a response to God's love in our life. Why we give means everything to God. Our motives mean everything. Okay? The amount doesn't matter to God. He's got all the money he needs. I've never seen God go begging. Okay? And our giving should be for that audience of one, for God alone. It's between you and God. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.